This morning, you're about to open your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. And the best way I can describe going to Ezekiel is if you open your Bible in the middle, that'd probably be the book of Psalms, and swing to the right, get Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and you'll get the prophets. You'll have Isaiah, Jeremiah, a very short book called Lamentations. And then you'll have the book of Ezekiel. Again, it's Ezekiel chapter 1. A reading from Ezekiel chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. In the 30th year, in the 4th month, on the 5th day of the month, as I was among the exiles by the river Chebar, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the 5th day of the month, it was the 5th year of the exile, King Jehoiachin, the word of the Lord came to the priest Ezekiel, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. As I looked, a stormy wind came out of the north, a great cloud with brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually, and in the middle of the fire something like gleaming amber. In the middle of it was something like 4 living creatures. This was the appearance. They were of human form. Each had 4 faces, and each of them had 4 wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles were feeble like the soles of a calf foot, and they sparkled like burnished bronze. Under their wings and their 4 sides they had human hands, and the 4 had their faces and their wings thus. Their wings touched one another. Each of them moved straight ahead without turning as they moved. As for the appearance of their faces, the 4 had the face of a human being, the face of a lion on the right side, the face of an ox on the left side, and the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out above. Each creature had 2 wings, each of which touched the wing of another, while the 2 covered their bodies. Each moved straight ahead, wherever the spirit would go. They went without turning as they went. In the middle of the living creature, there was something that looked like burning coals of fire, like torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and lightning issued from the fire. The living creatures darted to and fro like a flash of lightning. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel in the earth beside the living creatures, one for each of the 4 of them. As for the appearance of the wheels or construction, their appearance like a gleaming of beryl. And 4 of them had the same form, and their construction being something like a wheel within a wheel. When they moved in any of the 4 directions without veering as they moved. Their rims were tall and awesome, for the rims of all 4 creatures were full of eyes all around. When the living creatures moved, the wheels moved beside them. And when the living creatures rose in the earth, the wheels rose. Whenever the spirit would go, they went. And the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When they moved, the others moved. When they stopped, the others stopped. When they rose from the earth, the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Over the head of living creatures, there was something like a dome, shining like a crystal, spread out above their heads. Under the dome, their wings were stretched out straight, one to one another. And each of the creatures had 2 wings covering its body. When they moved, I heard the sound of their wings like the sound of mighty waters, like the thunder of the Almighty. A sound of tumult, like the sound of an army. When they stopped, they let down their wings. And there came a voice from above the dome over their heads. And when they stopped, they let down their wings. And above the dome over their heads was something like a throne, in appearance like sapphire. And see above the likeness of the throne, something seemed like a human form. Over from what appeared like the loins, I saw something like gleaming amber. Something that looked like fire and clothes all around. And downward from what looked like the loins, I saw something like fire, and there was splendor all around, like a bow in a cloud on a rainy day. Such was the appearance of the splendor all around. This was the appearance and likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of someone speaking. He said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speak to me, and he said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have been rebelling against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. the descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord, whenever they hear, refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. And you, O mortal, do not be afraid of them, and do not be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns around you, and you live among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words, and do not be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, whether they are a rebellious house. But you, mortal, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth, and eat what I give you. I look, and a hand was stretched out to me, and a written scroll was on it. He spread out before me. It had writing on the front and the back. Written on it were words of lamentations and mourning and woe. My friends, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. So last Sunday, we took a whirlwind tour of the prophet Jeremiah. And may recall that after King Josiah died, you had one king, a son who arose. He was evil and wicked, and he died. Had king number two, and he was wicked and evil as well. And he got hauled off into Babylon captivity with many of the people of Judah. And King Nebuchadnezzar put a puppet king in his place, a king by the name of King Zedekiah. And most of the scripture we looked at last Sunday was Jeremiah speaking to King Zedekiah. And Zedekiah would hear the words to Jeremiah, but he would not listen to the words of Prophet Jeremiah. Time again, Jeremiah says, King, you got to go out, you got to surrender to Babylonians. God is issuing judgment. But if you will surrender, you will be spared, your sons will be spared, and the city will be spared. But you got to surrender. This is God's divine judgment. Now, you may recall that at one point we're looking at Jeremiah chapter 29, where Jeremiah writes a letter to the captives in Babylon telling them, hey, I know the false prophets tell you in 2 years you'll be gone. I got some good news and bad news. The bad news is in 70 years you'll be there. The good news is God also has a plan for you, good plans to bless you, not to harm you. So in the meantime, you need to be praying for the peace of Babylon. For as the sea prosper, you shall prosper. And God wants you to have children and grandchildren and build houses and be successful in what you do. But you ain't going anywhere. You need to hold tight and go ahead and be living life and being faithful. Well, that crowd he was speaking to over in Babylon, the prophet Ezekiel was one of them. And he was a priest. And so Ezekiel's message is going to be more directed to the people who are already in Babylon. Listen to God's words of judgment. And so in chapter 1, we have this great vision. Now, if this vision sounds familiar, that's because a lot of times in November, I do a sermon about the book of Revelation, and I like to read that scripture from Revelation chapter 4, talking about the cherubims. And Mary had the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, the face of an eagle, and the wings. And they were saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Okay? That is very similar to what Ezekiel is seeing. He looks up and he sees a vision of the Lord in all his glory. And talks about the famous wheels within the wheel. And some of you may have heard that song about Ezekiel saw a wheel way up in the middle of the air. Ezekiel saw a wheel way up in the middle of the air. A little wheel run by faith. The big wheel run by the grace of God. Ezekiel saw a wheel way up in the middle of the air. That's where that comes from. It's from Ezekiel chapter 1. And then it talks about he saw someone like a human that was glowing like fire. The voice of many waters. Again, we read that similar scripture in Revelation chapter 4. Okay. And he says, O mortal, or translation might say, son of man. You know, you will be my prophet. I will send you to a very stubborn people to speak to them. And notice how time again he says, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. Remember how the Lord told Jeremiah, don't be afraid. Ezekiel, do not be afraid. You're going to deliver a message of judgment. They're not going to like it, but do not be afraid. And then it ends in chapter 2 about how he gives him a scroll, and the scroll has doom and gloom written on it. And chapter 3 goes on to say, he said to me, O mortal, eat what is offered to you. Eat this scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. And he said to me, mortal, eat the scroll, and I'll give to you, and fill your stomach with it. And then I ate it, and in my mouth it was sweet as honey. Isn't it interesting how the scroll had words of doom and gloom, but when Ezekiel ate the scroll, it was sweet as honey? Same way folks today with the Bible. Some folks look at the Bible and like, oh, that's doom and gloom. I don't know nothing about it. Another like, oh, honey, I've had a rough day. I need to go read my Bible. It's the same message, but how you respond to it tells you about where you are in your spiritual walk. Again, it talks about mortal. All my words I shall speak, receive to your hearts, and hear with your ears. And then the Lord gives Ezekiel a very rough deal here, okay? Verse 16, chapter 3. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, mortal, I have made you a sentinel for the house of Israel, watchman. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give to them the warning from me. If I say the wicked, you shall surely die. And you give them no warning or speech to warn the wicked of their wicked ways, in order to save their life. The wicked person shall die in their iniquity. But their blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and they do not turn from their wickedness and from their wicked way, they shall die of their iniquity. But you shall have saved their life. Again, if the righteous turn from their righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before them, they shall die, because you have not warned them. They shall die of their sin, and their righteous deeds that they have done shall not be remembered. But their blood I require at your hand. If, however, you have warned the righteous not to sin, and they do not sin, they shall surely live, because they took the warning, and you will have saved your life. The Lord put Ezekiel in a tough spot, didn't he? Zeke, you got to tell your people the dangers of their sin. Because here's the deal, Zeke, if you tell them and they obey you, they live. You tell them they disobey you, you still live. But if you do not tell them my message of judgment, they shall die and you shall die as well. Okay? No pressure there. So Zeke definitely was not a health and wealth person going out and about. Now, what was it that got the Lord so riled up? Well, if you jump ahead to chapter 8, Zeke gets a vision of the temple over in Jerusalem. And talks about how that they go into the temple. And then God said, O mortal, lift up your eyes to the in direction of the north. And talks about the altar gate, and it says in chapter verse 6, mortal, do you see what they are doing, the great abominations that the house of Israel are committing here, to drive me far from my sanctuary? Yet you will see still greater abominations. Verse 7. And he brought me to the entrance of the court, and I looked, and there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, mortal, dig through the wall. And when I dug through the wall, there was an entrance. He said to me, go in and see the vile abominations they are committing here. So I went in and looked, and there between the wall all around were all kinds of creeping things and loathsome animals, and all the idols of the house of Israel. In his vision, the Lord took Ezekiel outside the walls of the temple. There was a hole in the wall. He said, Zeke, start digging. When Ezekiel dug through the wall, got inside, he looked around, and all around in the Lord's temple, in his sanctuary, were idols. The people of Judah had fallen so badly, they had the nerve to bring in false gods and goddesses into the holy temple itself. And what happened? Well, God's judgment comes. And when you skip over to chapter 10, it talks about verse 18. Then the glory of the Lord went out from the threshold of the house and stopped above the cherub. And the cherubim lifted up their wings and rose from the wings of Masah as they went from the wheels within them. They stopped at the entrance of the east gate of the house of the Lord, and the glory of God of Israel was above them. These were living creatures I saw beneath the God of Israel, the river Chebar, and I know they were cherubim. Each had four wings and four faces, and underneath their wings some like human hands. And as far as their faces were like, the same faces as those appearances I saw by the river. And then verse 22 says, they lift their wings, and the glory of the Lord ascended from the middle of the city and stopped on the east of the city. Now, what does that mean about the glory of the Lord? Well, rewind the tape. When King Solomon had finished the temple, he gave this great prayer and said, O Lord, can this temple really, truly contain you? You know, well, the answer is, of course, is no. Nothing can ever contain God. No, he's everywhere. And yet God's glory fell down on the temple at that moment. Okay, think about that. Here's King Solomon. The temple is finished. They have a dedication. And God's glory comes down. Here, many, many years later, Ezekiel is seeing the opposite happen. He looks and he sees God's glory moving up and out of the temple, heading towards the mountains. What happens when God's glory leaves the temple? God no longer lives there. It's now just another building in Jerusalem, isn't it? It's just another empty house. No more important than the bank or library or city hall. And think about how terrifying that would have been to be the prophet Ezekiel and sees God's glory up and rise up out of the temple and leave. Well, how bad was it? Chapter 14, verse 12. The word of the Lord came to me, mortal. When a land sins against me by acting faithlessly, I stretch out my hand against it and break off the staff of bread and send famine upon it and cut off from beings, human beings and animals. Even if Noah, Daniel, and Job, these three, were in it, they would save only their own lives by their righteousness, says the Lord God. And at the end, he says again, verse 20, even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would save neither son nor daughter. They would save only their own lives by their own righteousness. What that referring to is that in the case of Noah, remember he was righteous in his generation, and God spared him and his family through the flood. Daniel is a young man this time, but he's making a name for himself in Babylon as being a righteous young man who will stand up against King Nebuchadnezzar and his advisors. And then Job, bless his heart, we talked about him a few years ago. Here was a righteous man who shunned evil. And God said, if those three lived there, it wouldn't make any difference. Okay? He's referring to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, where Abraham negotiated with the Lord. Lord, was there 50 righteous? There's 50 righteous, I'll spare the city. What about 45? 45, 40, 40, 30, 30, 20, 20. Lord, don't be angry with me. One last time. What if we get 10 righteous? If I find 10 righteous citizens in the city of Sodom, I shall not destroy that city. But when the Lord arrived at Sodom, he could only find Lot. No other righteous folks. And Lot, his wife, two daughters, escaped, and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. The Lord says, even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were alive at that time, Judah would not be spared. Such was the greatness of their sins. Okay. Chapter 18 at the end. This is the verses that we quoted a little while ago in that passage we read. Verse 30, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, and all of you according to your ways, says the Lord God. Repent, and turn from all your transgressions, otherwise iniquity will be your ruin. Cast away from all the transgressions you have committed against me, and get yourselves a new heart, a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. Turn then and live. Those are the verses that inspired Charles Wesley to write that hymn we read a little while ago. God says, I take no desire in punishing folks. My desire is you turn from your evil, turn from your ways, and that you would live. In chapter 37, we have the famous story about the dry bones. Ezekiel has a vision of a valley full of dry bones. Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, only you know. And then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God of these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And what happened was, in that vision, the bones come alive, and they're restored, and they're healed. And that is God's way of showing, after Jerusalem is destroyed, and like it's dead and hopeless, I will again bring life back to Jerusalem and Judah. And then finally, I always like to close these with a word of hope. Listen to this promise of God that he gave Ezekiel. And see, this does not have something to do with us as well. And Ezekiel 36 talks about how when the people were sinned, they brought dishonor to God's name, and he judged them according to the nations. And he said, in doing so, it brought shame to his name. Because people said, these are the people of the Lord, and they go down to his land. And verse 21 said, but I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned among them. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when through you I display holiness through their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you to your own land. Okay? So God's saying, I'm going to bring you from all the foreign nations back home. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will build within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and make you follow my statutes, and be careful to observe my ordinances. Then you shall live in the land I gave to your ancestors, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I will save you from all your uncleanness. You see, the prophet Ezekiel promised that the day would come when God would bring his people back home to Israel. And he promised a time when God would cleanse his people. He would wash away the unrighteousness from their hearts, give them a new heart, a clean heart, and give them a new spirit, and write their law, his law, on their hearts. We see that prophecy fulfilled in the coming of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. When a person turns away from their sins with their faith in Jesus, they get a new heart, a heart transplant. The heart of stone is gone, and they get the heart of flesh. And then God gives us his Holy Spirit. And it's only through by his Holy Spirit we are free to obey God's commands. The people of Judah sinned very greatly against the Lord. They rebelled, and as a result, God's glory left the temple, and they got sent off to a foreign land. But God, his grace and mercy, said, I will bring you back home for my name's sake, because through you I will show all nations my holiness. And when I bring you back, I'm going to do a heart transplant. I'm going to remove that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to give you my spirit and write my commands on your heart, and I will save you from all unrighteousness. This is why Jesus came. He came to give us that new heart, to cleanse from all righteousness. And the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of us so we may live a godly life. Thanks be to God. Amen.